Yeah, the bottom line is, and again, as a local government official, I can tell you, if you're going to see major cuts in aid to local governments, which is exactly what's going to come and what I've said is going to come for some time, and what nearly every other governor across the country is doing, the only way I can ensure to the public in this state that those cuts aren't going to lead to massive layoffs of teachers, city, county, local government workers, major cuts in core services at the local level, is if those local governments have the authority to set their pension and benefit levels the way we're outlining in this bill. If you have collective bargaining agreements in place, there's no guarantee that any of those savings will be materialized.
But you remove future collective bargaining altogether. You give the government the absolute upper hand over them, don't you?
You ultimately allow local and state government to determine what the pension and health care benefits are in the future. Absolutely. That's what local governments have been asking for years. They don't have that right now. I didn't have that when I was the county executive. That's why time and time again, I'd come back to the unions in Milwaukee County and ask for simple changes in terms of pension or health care contributions. I even asked for a while for a 35-hour work week. Their response to me was, we don't want it. You can go do something else. Go lay off 400 or 500 employees. We don't care. The reality is I think the people of the state care, both because it will affect services negatively and because in this environment, in this economy, I don't think many of us, if other than a few of the union leaders, want anybody laid off at a time when the economy is so tough.
Governor, the president has called your bill an assault on unions. Now, there have been reports that the union has agreed to cancel all contracts with unions what's your response to perhaps this issue here in Wisconsin becoming a 2022 president?
I think the president of the United States has his hands full balancing the federal budget deficit. They have big problems there. He should stick to balancing the federal budget.
Governor, yesterday you said that you wouldn't be moving your budget address today. You put a request to move it to March 1st. Why the change?
Simply put, because of what's happened with the 14 members of the state Senate Democratic Caucus, we're not certain exactly when the Senate's going to be able to come back in and take the vote. There's a majority of members who are ready to vote and to vote for that measure, just as there is in the Assembly. Unfortunately, the members of the state Senate, who out of those 14, let me remind everybody, 13 of them 2 years ago voted for the budget adjustment bill that raised taxes by $1 billion in this capital. That bill was introduced on Wednesday. It was voted on Thursday. So apparently 2 years ago, 24 hours was time enough to raise taxes on the taxpayers of Wisconsin by $1 billion. Now a week and an unprecedented amount of 17 hours of public hearing testimony by the Joint Finance Committee is not long enough. The reality is they're not doing their job. They belong back here just like all the state workers and county workers and local government workers across the state who I appreciate went to work today to do their job. The state Senate needs to do their job, and until they do, we're going to wait because it's imperative we get this done first. It's modest in terms of what we're asking for. If you ask the people who are paying 25% or more for their health care,
but that speaks to the benefits question, not the collective bargaining.
Well, right. In this state, we have the strongest civil service system in the country. Our rights for our workers are not guaranteed by collective bargaining. They're guaranteed by something that passed more than a century ago, and that is a civil service system in this state that's the strongest in the country. Civil service protections for state employees include merit hiring, and just cause when it comes to discipline and termination. Those rights don't expire when collective bargaining is adjusted as we propose in this measure. So those rights, and unfortunately I think a lot of folks outside who are being motivated by their union leadership don't fully recognize those rights are not because of collective bargaining, they're because of the civil service system in the state, and it continues. The difference is for those outside of government who overwhelmingly are paying more than double what we're asking for in this measure, they look at this and say, where do I sign up for this? This is remarkable. What you're basically asking for is every guy, every factory worker I talked to this last week, who's paying 25 to 50% for their health care premiums, who doesn't have a pension, who's got to pay into a 401k, who in some cases had that suspended, every one of them looks at that and says, you know what, not only do I not get that, that guy has to pay for it. That guy has to pay the difference on the fact that while he's not getting even a fraction of what our state and local government employees are getting, he has to pay the bill to foot for everybody else. To me, it's a basic issue. I'm going to let other people ask. Go ahead. What's that?
Governor, you were on our fourth day here. Do you
The exit, I think ultimately the exit strategy is for the people of the state, particularly in those 14 state Senate districts, who, regardless of how they feel about the bill, I think had an expectation, whether their senator was elected last November or 2 years prior, have a very sincere expectation that the people they sent to serve in the state capitol are people who ultimately will show up and do their job. People talk about democracy. You can't participate in democracy if you're not in the arena. The arena is in not in Rockford, Illinois. The arena is in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's time for those state senators to come home. Now, if they want to debate this, if they want to discuss this, if they want to make the argue the merits of their position, come offer amendments. Come offer discussion. But hiding out in another state is not a way for democracy to operate. A handful of people in my minority don't get to drive the majority here. They should have every right to be heard, and they would be afforded that opportunity if they showed up for work.
What about those constituents that support the walkout?
What's that?
What about those constituents of those 14 senators that support the walkout?
Well, again, I hope the majority of people in this state, no matter what they think about this bill, ultimately believe that members of the state legislature should be working. I think it's a core belief. You can't operate in a democracy if people don't show up. Nobody's ramming this through. This is a much longer debate than what we had 2 years ago in the budget adjustment bill. We've afforded unprecedented. I served in the legislature. I don't ever remember a 17-hour hearing. People have heard their testimony. In fact, one of the most remarkable things is since midnight last night, we've got nearly 19,000 emails to this office alone. The majority of those have been people in favor of what we're proposing. So we are certainly bolstered by the fact that while people, and you hear them outside, they have every right to be heard. But we're not going to let for 1 minute these voices overshadow and overpower the voices of the taxpayers across this state who elected us to do the job, and that meant balancing this budget, and that's exactly what we're doing. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.